This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mick Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mick Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mick Delivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now, all the way in Spain, it's very late in Spain, is Steve Reynolds. In this episode, we're going to look back at Fulham's 2-1 loss to Tottenham Hotspur. It seems like a long time ago, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Later on, we will then talk about the transfer window. I'll ask Steve to give a rating from 1 to 10 on the transfer window. I'll give a rating as well. And at the very end of the show, we'll do a quick, I guess you could say, Chelsea preview. We're going to talk about Thomas Tuchel getting sacked by Chelsea. And what does that mean for Fulham? Does it give Fulham a leg up against Chelsea? It might. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. Okay. Before we do anything else, Steve, you and I talk on a regular basis. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. It is late for you.
It's fine, mate. It's fine. Yeah. It's been a strange few weeks. It's been a strange week. We had the loss against Arsenal, which I thought we played very, very well. We picked ourselves up against Brighton, and as Brighton are at the moment, I think it was very, very good results. And then we played Spurs, where we were not at our best.
Right.
But in pure Fulhamish manner, we could have actually got deflection, scored, and got the a draw.
So exactly.
I think it sums up how the season's gone.
Right.
I think beginning of the season, you said, could we get a where we are at the moment, the number of points we've got? I would have said probably most Fulham supporters probably would have said probably not. I think the games we've lost, we have been very competitive, and that is what matters.
Agreed.
We have not rolled over, anything along those lines. So I'm fairly optimistic, and as you well know, Russ, we've been speaking for many years. I've always been the half glass empty. But I think we've got a good side here. I think we've got a good manager, and I think we've got a good formation. And I think we will have defeats.
Yep.
We might have maybe one, two, maybe even three on the trot. But I think you've got to stick with him. Certainly with Marco, because he just seems to me, he seems to get players working for him. I won't go through the Metro saga regarding Parker.
Right.
I mean, obviously, if Parker, if Chelsea signed Parker, great. I'm there. But I think, you know, on the whole, it's okay. As far as we've got Tottenham, how do you look at it? Poor first half. Yep. Obviously, we had the injury to Jedi.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, you know, so there was a lot going on in the first half, I think.
Right.
I don't think we came out the traps, as they say.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail in a second, Steve. I just want to also mention to everyone, please do subscribe on our YouTube channel. It helps other film supporters find us. I do have to mention, College Talk is now part of the TalkSport Fan Network. And what that means is that we're going to be part of this network that's all of these podcasts. Hopefully, their plan is to have a podcast representing each club. And we're just going to be part of that. And I think it's going to be something that's going to help us reach more fans of not just Fulham, but of other clubs. TalkSport is huge, and this is a big deal for us. I've been doing the podcast now for over 11 years, and to be doing this network with TalkSport is a huge deal for us, and I look forward to seeing where this takes Cottage Talk. So that's my big announcement, that Cottage Talk is now part of the TalkSport Fan Network. You'll be able to listen to it now as part of Acast. This is a growing network that they're going to be doing a huge announcement after the World Cup that's going to be promoting the TalkSport Fan Network. We're kind of on the ground level now. We're in the beginning stages, but I think this is going to be great, Steve. And I look forward to seeing where this network takes Cottage Talk.
I think it gives us basically a wider audience, more interest from not mainly Fulham fans, but I think from other fans.
Yep.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I subscribe to Back of the Net, which is the Bournemouth podcast. Not because I particularly like Bournemouth, but I think they do a very good podcast.
And they
do. On the whole, they are fairly honest. In relation to how the team plays. So I think, you know, if you look at it from that sense, I think it's good.
Yeah.
I think it's a good venture.
Well, I hope it is too, my friend. I look forward to seeing where this takes Cottage Talk, and I'm happy to be a part of now the TalkSport Fan Network. Okay, Steve, before we get into talking about the last match, we won't spend too much time because there are other topics I want to talk about. I have to share a couple comments. This is from my friend Chris Goodwin, who's a Liverpool supporter. Chris, I kind of feel for you a little bit right now. Hello, Russ. Watching Cottage Talk this evening is far better than watching the Champions League this evening. Sorry to hear that, Chris.
Russ, I will just interject basically the Fulham shadow, who's not around this evening, is,
yep,
as you both know, and I am also a Napoli fan.
I know. You are a Napoli supporter, too. I know.
And I have...
Sorry, Chris, by the way.
I've been getting sexes left, right, and centre from Emilio. So, Chris, I love your comments, but yep, tonight I'm totally Napoli.
Okay. Now, I just want to share a couple more comments. This is from our friend here, Phantom of Many Topics. When is your FFC versus CFC preview show? I'm hoping to do one either tomorrow or Friday. But again, we'll see how that goes. Just scheduling issues. Well, hopefully I will have that. But we'll also be talking a little bit of Chelsea at the end of the show. And our friend here also says Chelsea lost Tuchel. Should be easy to beat at Craven Cottage. No, I don't think it's going to be easy. But I think it could be a factor in the way of Fulham, but we shall see. Let's see. And then, of course, Chris Goodwin at the very end says, this makes it worse. I'm sorry, Chris. I'm really sorry.
Sorry,
okay,
mate.
Okay. So, Steve, let's get into it. You kind of shared your opening thoughts on the loss, and I'll share mine. And like I said, we're not going to spend too much time on this. My thoughts are this. Like you've already mentioned, Fulham have played Arsenal. They've beaten Brighton. We're finding out that Brighton Hove Albion is a quality side. And then you follow that up again in North London facing Tottenham Hotspur, and you make them work for a victory, which they probably thought was going to be a lot easier than it should have been. And it was tough. They made it tough on them. Fulham were not at their best. you have to give Tottenham Hotspur a lot of credit for that, Steve, because they made it tough on Fulham. They had a nice setup. The way that Conte set them up really hurt Fulham, especially in the first half. But to force them to grind out a victory in the end, especially when you have the injury to Anthony Robinson, which I think changed the match. You could have gotten a point from this, Steve.
Yeah, I think losing Chennai was very difficult because you had to bring on Kevin Mbabu.
Yep.
And to be honest, there was a lot of criticism about his performance, but I'm sorry, he plays on the right, he doesn't play on the left. He did his best, and I think that's how it should stand. I think first half we didn't come out the traps. I think we could have been quite easy certainly 3-0 down if they had taken the chances. But I think what worried me was the fact that the way their wingers pressed. With obviously you've got Son, Kane sitting there, but the way they pressed forward that right. left Tosin, Remy, they looked a bit exposed. I think they got together at half time, sorted out.
Right.
And I think that is why the second half, I thought we looked a lot better second half. I would say the injection of yeah, he's going to be probably a sub most games, but I'm sorry, but Kearney, he looks so comfortable on the ball. He finds the extra space. I know everyone's writing him off, but we've written off a lot of players at Fulham for many a time. But I thought he made a difference. I think Vinicius, I think, we got something there, maybe.
Okay.
You know, he's chunkier. He's a better. He's more. He's shorter than Muniz.
Right.
But he's got that center of gravity. So I think right. you know, I'm not that disappointed, to be honest.
Okay.
At the end of the day, I don't know what you think, Ross. I mean.
Yeah, I'm not that disappointed, Steve. I think I'm about to give you a new nickname. Since we have the Fulham Shadow, Emilio Danilo, we're going to call you the Spanish Fulham Shadow based on the fact that I can just see a little bit of you. So
yeah, I know. Unfortunately, as opposed to a lot of places, being in Spain, it's still about 24 degrees. This is outside. I'm 4,000 feet up in the mountains, so it's different.
Well, Steve, I really appreciate you joining me. I have to share one more comment from our friend Chris Goodwin, who's a Liverpool supporter. To really complete my night, one of the Napoli goal scorers was an ex-Fulham player.
Yeah,
Andre,
I know.
For example, in case that I knew that. So, yeah. Chris, I'm sorry about that, Chris. Really sorry about that, Chris. By the way, you got your shots on me earlier with Patriots 4th-and-2. So we're even now. We're even now. You were just talking a little bit about what was said on my other show. But thank you. And I always love the fact that you watch this, Chris, even though you're a Liverpool supporter. So thank you. Okay, my friend, let's get to this. I got an interesting question for you because you just said this to me that you're not too bothered. I'm not too bothered by this, but I've also seen this commentary on Twitter after the match, not just from one, but I'd say more than a few. So I'm going to ask you the question. Was this a wake-up call for Fulham? Was this basically saying to Fulham, listen, you're not as good as you think you are, and you could still really have a club do a number on you? I'll just get us started before I go to you, and I'll say this is not a wake-up call for Fulham. I would say this is a wake-up call for the rest of the league. Because for me, it just solidifies that it doesn't matter who you are. Well, I should say until we see Man City, that might be a different story. But basically, it doesn't matter who you are, except we'll say Man City. We're going to give you a match.
Injured. Yeah. If Holland's injured, I'm okay.
Right. Right, right. But that foam are going to make it hard on you no matter who you are. And that to me is the wake-up call for the rest of the league that you can't be expecting a very easy match from foam.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were two aspects to it. I think one aspect will probably come on to, as you say, i.e. the people we got in the transfer window. And that was one position that was needed that we have not got. I think a lot of teams, and I'm glad, as a journalist, I'm glad to say, most journalists on the football side, we were bottom. We were out. We were going to go out. We're going to go down. End of. I think after the Liverpool game, first game of the season, and if I remember last time, I think it was Arsenal.
Arsenal.
Yeah, we got stuffed. Liverpool, I think a lot of teams suddenly looked up and thought, whoa, hang on. And then that's continued. Right. It's not going to be championship. We're not going to get wins week in, week out. We're going to go through, as I say, we're going to go maybe 2-3 games without a win.
Right.
But we are nicking, and deservedly so also, we are nicking games by right. the way we are playing. And I think, right. and the one thing I have noticed, and we are going back to the wonderful days of Roy Hodgson, when Craven Cottage was a fortress. We might lose away, but we didn't often lose at home. And right. I think that with the atmosphere, I haven't been there this season yet. Hopefully, going to get over next, I don't know, I've got to sort all of that out. But the fans are behind the team. They are behind Silva. They are behind the ethos that Silva is putting forward. And that you've got
totally to agree, Steve. And that to me is the difference. I'm glad that you said that. And I'm glad that you talked about Craven Cottage being a fortress again, because I have not seen them look like this. And listen, we've seen some very good sides under Savisa, dare I say, already under Marco, we've already seen a really good side. I've not seen this type of team since Roy's teams. I've not seen it. I've actually messaged Dan Crawford this feeling that when teams come to Craven Cottage, they're going to know that it's going to be very difficult on them because it is now going to be a fortress again. I've not felt like that since Roy Hodgson. I didn't feel like that under any other manager. I'm including Savisa. I'm including Mark Hughes. I'm including some of these managers that had good teams at Fulham. You know, but it doesn't. But it's just a different feel to it, Steve. It's a fortress again.
I would put Tigana. The team with Tigana. I thought you're going back, you know, a while now, but that to me was great. It was a beautiful team to watch, Saha and everybody else. But I think it's the build up that's it's slowly getting, certainly at home, it's building up whereby you're sitting there saying, actually, we don't really fear anybody.
No.
I know we're going to get onto the Chelsea later on.
Yep.
But teams like that, we would fear.
There's no fear right now for us.
Exactly. And I think that is what Silva has brought. And I think also, I think a lot of credit's got to go also to the back boys. Boa Morte.
His whole coaching staff.
Yeah. You know, they were, and also, I know they do the, like, the, on the Fulham podcast, FFC TV.
Yep.
But you can see there was almost like a unity amongst the players.
Right.
And that, I think, has been missing. I think it's missing under, certainly, Mr. Parker, put it that way, and be polite. Yeah. And I just think it's, I'm licking a word from Roy, which is belief.
Right.
Believe. Right. And you know, and I think that we're starting to get that back as a team, as a supporter. There's that, I don't know, it's just something there, you know.
Well, again, I have not been to Craven Cottage. Obviously, you have, Steve. And I'm just going by what everyone's been saying and also what I'm feeling when I'm watching these matches. And you could tell a different atmosphere at Craven Cottage this season. It's been different. And it's only going to get better as they release more seats, and they are releasing more seats in the Riverside Stand. When that is completely full, it could get to the point where Craven Cottage is intimidating. And I'm not saying that it's not already, but I think it's going to go to a different level where we've always wanted Craven Cottage to be what it was in the past, a fortress.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's getting to that point again.
Yeah, you can take teams like in the Premiership at the time, teams like Burnley, Sheffield United.
Difficult places to go.
It didn't matter whether you Liverpool, Man United, you didn't want to go there.
No.
You know, and that's what we need at Fulham to build that, you know, get that behind, get behind the kids, the lads, everything, you know.
That's why I don't see this as a wake-up call for Fulham with a loss to Spurs. I actually think it's a wake-up call, like I mentioned, to the rest of the league, all the supporters, that you're going to be in a match, every single match with Fulham, and when you come to Craven Cottage, it's going to be even tougher on you because it really is a fortress now.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think the defining month is going to be October.
Yep.
The games we've got in October are going to be the defining games.
Totally agree.
Because are a lot of games where we can pick up a lot of points. Then you've got your World Cup break. And then I think, is it March? We've got a good run in March, I think.
I believe it is March.
Yeah. But I'm happy.
Okay. Good stuff, my friend. I'm going to share another comment. This is from our friend Val, who's a good friend of the Fulham Shadow. He says, even though I can't stand Spurs, I like them to lose every game, but they were far better than us in the first half, and we really had only the last 15 minutes. We have to be on our game and up for every game from now. And I agree with Val on that, and I think the substitutions helped. I agree that the substitutions helped. But in the end, as I said, Steve, as we go through this and we talk about this match, and I don't want to spend way too much time on it, when I look at it, and if this is Fulham at their worst, and to lose 2-1, that's progress.
Yeah, I think any Fulham fan would have taken what we've got so far this season quite happily. You know, after the games we played, they would be quite happy with that. And I think it's a case of move up and move on. We're good enough.
And I just want to mention, as we're recording this live, I just got a little notice on my phone that Napoli won 4-1. So sorry, Chris Goodwin. They won 4-1.
Yeah, I know some certain person in Wimbledon, in London, who will be very, very happy.
The Fulham Shadow and the Spanish Shadow. Exactly. Spanish Fulham Shadow are both very happy right now. So, my friend, let's just talk a little bit more about the match. Let's talk about the goals. Let's focus on that. So let's talk about the goal near the end of the first half from Spurs. And Kevin Mbabu was being pointed out. He did lose the ball here. But again, as you mentioned, he's playing out of position. But this is really a good quality goal from Højbjerg. Your thoughts on the first goal from Spurs?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good quality goal. I mean, are we going to be picky? If you want to be picky, you could say that Reedy, arms behind his back, stood off. before the ball was actually played in. But that's been really picky. It was a good, we got caught.
Yep.
Good goal. End of. You know, I'm fed up picking out little bits here, little bits there. He should have been there. He should have been there. This happens in a split second, you know. It was a good goal, Ross. End of.
Yeah.
You know.
I agree. So Fulham go into the half down 1-0. What were your thoughts at halftime?
Halftime, I think we were poor. I don't think we had any structure. I think we got called out by the attacking the wings, both Tottenham wings. They're attacking down the wings. Sessegnon Young, he had a great game. Good luck to him. I know people say, "Well, I don't care." Good luck to the kid. But I think we just got called out. I think we regrouped second half, and it wasn't quite as easy. They weren't getting that width. We stuck to the five. The four.
Right.
A lot of people would have gone to five on the back to try and stop the wings, but I thought we'd be. It's just going to be one of those games. Kane's goal.
Yeah, let's talk about his goal in the second half.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff on social media. Was it offside?
It's and close.
What I can see technically is it's his hand. In which case, it's not a part of the body.
No.
Yeah, it's not offside. It was close. Don't get me wrong. But I think we were stronger, more solid second half, which showed the fact we got the capacity to regroup and come forward. I mean, then you go on to Mitro's goal.
Yep.
And I can remember talking to you on the way home. Hadn't seen it. And I said, just watch it. And I think everyone talks about Mitrova's 6 18-yard box headers, whatever, i.e. very close in.
Right.
And that was sublime. No two ways. That was absolute beauty. And it was just, I think it showed the confidence Mitrova's got. That he had the opportunity, he saw the opening, and he went for it.
Right.
And I think that was one of the best goals he scored this season.
I totally agree, Stephen. That was just a different class. That goal was different class, and it just shows.
It was beautiful to watch.
Right, it was. And we've been inundated with media, with supporters of other clubs saying, can he do it in the Premier League? And I keep saying, he's already done it in the Premier League. Yeah, he just didn't do it under Parker. And I'm sorry, I'm putting a lot of that on Parker last time we were in the Premier League. So if you want to hang your hat that he can't do in the Premier League, you're dead wrong. He's going to prove you wrong. He has 6 goals already, Steve, which is amazing.
He's
not going to average one a game, but he's going to score a good amount of goals. I said 15. He might beat that way into the season.
I'd go 18, maybe. Yeah. This way. I think his confidence is that high now.
It's through the roof. It's through the roof.
And I think also it applies generally around the team as a whole.
Right.
What Silva, Boa Morte are putting into the team.
Right.
They're a confident team.
Exactly. When
they come out. It doesn't always work, agreed, but generally they're a good, we're just so full of confidence.
Okay, good stuff, Steve. And what's interesting here, because again, they had their opportunity that they could have been up 3-1. Obviously, that got taken away from VAR, but it was the right call. But you know what? Fulham had a great opportunity for an equalizer.
Yeah.
And this actually was a tremendous save. It was deflected. This was going in that top corner, Steve. It was going in.
Yeah, it was a superb save by Lloris. No two ways about it. Fulham supporter, you're hard done, boy. You feel disappointed. But at the end of the day, you've got to give credit where credit is due. He has got a right to the far on his right left-hand side, and he's just tipped it, and it was a superb save.
It was.
And to be honest, did we deserve a draw? I might upset a few people, but probably not. I think Tottenham probably edged it.
Sure. I don't think that's crazy to say, Steve, and I don't think it's wrong to say. But with that said, they were the better team. They were the better team.
Yeah.
Right. Fulham would have been fortunate to get a point there. But here's the thing. They were still in position to get a point, not playing their best. And honestly, as I've heard from many Tottenham supporters, and I've seen it across social media, that was their best match. So you got them at their best, and they only won 2-1.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. I saw that on several, a few of Tottenham websites.
Saying that this was their best performance.
That is the best they have played. Everybody just clicked. And we only went down 2-1 and we couldn't nick
it. Just think about that.
Come on. Don't get disheartened. Just keep plowing on.
Exactly, Steve. Listen, let's finish this up by getting your man of the match. Who was your man of the match?
I thought Palhinha again, problem. Another yellow. He was good, but I'm sorry, just for the Mitro goal. It was absolutely
Mitro.
It was sublime.
Okay. I understand. I'm actually gonna go with Mitro as well, because Fulham are very dangerous when he's dangerous. But I will say this, that I can't believe I'm gonna say this, but right now, the three Fulham players that Fulham can't afford to lose right now, towards injury, towards red card, to being out for suspension, would be Mitro, Paulinho, and Anthony Robinson. I can't believe I'm saying Anthony Robinson, but I have to say it.
I mean, you've been a bit of a critic. I've been a bit of a critic at times.
I've been more than a little bit of a critic.
I'm being polite. I think Palhinha, I'm sorry, but what you're going to get. He's going to pick up another yellow. He's going to get a red card, one match off.
Yep.
You've just got to put up with that, I think. I think we have to accept that as a whole. And that's what's going to happen.
Okay, very good. All right. Coming up next, Steve and I will, in the second half of the show, talk about the transfer window, our thoughts on it overall. And we'll end with our thoughts on the upcoming match with Chelsea as Thomas Tuchel got sacked.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, Steve, back to you. Let's get to talking about the transfer window. You and I talk a great deal during the week. So let's just go through your thoughts on overall on the transfer window. Give me a rating from 1 to 10. If you're watching live, we have a few people watching live. I know it's late in England, but if you're watching live, feel free to give us a rating overall on the transfer window. Before I get your rating, and I'm not going to give a rating until I hear yours, I'm just going to say that I think that Fulham got a good amount of quality here, Steve. Did they get everything that they need? The answer would be no, because I think that they needed some more help in central midfield. I don't think that they got enough backup. I felt that they needed backup to Paulinho in the case that he gets suspended or gets injured. So they don't have backup. If you're telling me it's Nathaniel Chalaba, well, then I'm telling you you're wrong, because I don't think he's proper backup for Paulinho. But he might have to be backup for Paulinho. But if you look at overall, and I'm going to tell you the best signing for me, Paulinho is the best signing. But I haven't told you this. The second best signing for me is Daniel James. And the third is Leno. I think Daniel James is going to end up changing Fulham. Watch what this kid can do, especially when Harry Wilson comes back. He has a point to prove. I'm telling you, he is going to light it up on the wing, and then you're going to have Harry Wilson on the other wing. I think Daniel James is going to be the second best signing of the summer.
I'll probably push a boat out a bit here, because obviously I'm going a fair bit in advance. But I think Leno is a great signing. I feel sorry for Roddick, but, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day. James, yes, I can see...
Steve, he gives Fulham something that they're missing right now.
Yeah, I think he's a great stopgap up towards the World Cup, when hopefully after World Cup, I think it's beginning of December or end of December, we get going again, and hopefully Solomon is back.
We'll see.
So that gives us that. We'll definitely have Wilson back.
Right.
It gives us width on the pitch.
Exactly, Steve. And that's something, nothing against Bobby Decker, Dover, Reed, and Niskins, because they're doing their job.
Great servants. I love Niskins. I love Bobby Decker, but they know their limitations. If push comes to shove, they're not silly. I think the interesting one is Cassava.
Yes.
Now, that to me, I would say, is that doesn't look like a silver signing.
I know you and I talked about this.
I know we're getting controversial. I don't think that was a silver signing.
Okay.
A guy, he's PSG. He was on 90,000 at PSG.
Yes.
Has not played for a year, and we sign him. If anybody out there has got an idea why we got him, I'm not saying he's not going to be great, but why it seemed a strange signing, put it that way.
Okay, I think that he was not their first choice. Let's just say that. I think he was their fallback, and eventually it turned out.
Mbappe. No, you know, we couldn't get them.
Okay, Steve. But you know what? Let's give Kurzawa a chance. Let's see what he can do. But right now,
I agree totally.
But the problem that Fulham have right now is that, and hopefully we'll find out sooner than later, the situation with Anthony Robinson. I'm saying his name again. Yes, Chris Goodwin's like, you're saying Anthony Robinson. I'm saying his name again because he has become a valuable part of this team, especially defensively. So I'm hoping that he's okay. But if he's not, will Kurzawa be ready to go against Chelsea, or are you going to be forced once again to play Mbabu on the left, which, again, isn't ideal, and that would become a weakness? So we'll have to see how that goes. But, Steve, overall, Overall, give me a rating. Give me a rating for the window.
Okay. Leno, probably, I'll probably go with 8 out of 10. I'm fairly conservative. I think James, again, I would probably go around about 7. I think Vinicius, who I've seen, I think he's got, I'll give him 7.
I think
he could go right. He could be a lot better than that. Cassara, I don't think it's fair to give him a rating.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him. So, you know, I'm not gonna put a comment on someone I haven't seen even play. It's not fair. It's not fair. Okay. Not fair to the player.
Okay, how about William?
Oh God! Now you mentioned that because you know as well as I do, we disagree.
No, we disagree on William.
We disagree big time. I'll give him a 5.
Give him a 5. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Issa Diop.
Diop again, haven't seen him play. And he was fairly low down on the West Ham side of things. But I'm kind of basically shoot my own argument down in some senses, because I think Silva, Oblique, Boa Morte, because I think they are a double act.
Right.
They have got a hell of a lot more out of players that most people didn't think of.
They sure
so,
have.
You know, so I'm gonna hold up on that one.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't think it's fair to judge.
Sure. No
a
worries.
Player on maybe one or two performances, you know.
No worries. How about Kevin Mbabu?
Mbabu, wrong side of the pitch. I think he's not as quick, I don't think, as Kenny. But
he's a good crosser of the ball.
He is superb. Villarreal on the pitch, 15 minutes, 2 absolute gems across for Mitro. I think right side of the pitch, where he belongs. I'd stick definitely with him. No two ways about it.
Okay, how about Shane Duffy?
Standing.
Okay, so you don't want to give a rating for him?
Yeah.
That's fine.
No, I'm not being...
You're on the fence. You're on the fence. Come on, get off the fence, Spanish Shadow. Get off the fence.
Yeah, no, I'm not being detrimental to him, but I can't see what he's going to bring.
Okay, fair point. Paulinho, I'm going to give Paulinho a 10 out of 10.
Paulinho, I'll give 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10.
I would give him 11 out of 10, but I can see him missing vital matches because of bookings or possibly red cards.
Okay.
He's got to calm it.
Okay, Steve, let's end with Manor Solomon. Again, he's injured, but overall, what are your thoughts of the signing?
I think for what we've got, I think he's, I can only work on what I've seen on the likes of YouTube and whatever. He loves it down the left wing. He likes bringing it inside. To either shoot, or he can also, he's a great one at laying off the ball to, in our case, would be the likes of Plino or a Pereira. It's very difficult to judge. I think I'd give him a 6 at the moment because it's unfair, again, to judge somebody you haven't seen. You know, the biggest problem we've had this year is we've lost 2 players in really main positions,
right
down the wings. And that has really changed the whole dynamic of how we've got to play. So we are, rather than the wings, we're tending to be more, bring it in a little bit, you know, okay, towards the midfield, you know. So, you know, stuff happens. We okay. were a bit, I think we've been a bit unlucky, but okay. there you go.
Okay, not a problem. Okay. The Fulham shadow has chimed in.
I knew he would.
Okay, but here is his window. 7.5. Steve, I'm going to go for an 8 for the Fulham transfer window. How about you?
I'll go 8 just to pay off Mr. Danilo.
Okay, you're going to go 8, right?
Yeah, just to annoy him.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to share some more comments here. Let's see what we got here from Wayne Walden. Solomon, he's a great player. I'll give him a 9. We'll see if that comes true. Val says, I think an 8. This is from Eric Whittle. Agree, Steve. We need wingers. Okay. Well, hopefully we have the wingers, even though Steve doesn't rate William. We'll see if we have wingers, but very good.
William.
What is your problem with it? Is it because he's a former Chelsea player? We'll talk about Chelsea in just a second. Is that your issue?
Look, I love Chelsea with a vengeance.
Okay, okay. See, I think this is a personal issue that you have with William.
I just can't see what he's going to bring.
At 34 years old, he has all this experience. I think he hopefully still has some pace left. If he has pace left, he's going to give you something.
I can see where Silva's coming from, but I don't know. Prove me wrong, shoot me down, and I'll hold my hands up and say,
Okay, well, I hope he proves you wrong, because that would make my
Chelsea.
Day. If he proves you wrong, that would make my day.
Against Chelsea, okay? I'll go on my knees and kiss his boots.
Okay, well, the Fulham shadow agrees with you, Steve. I have major issues with William too. Selfish, arrogant, and not a team player. Hopefully, and prove wrong. And I hope he proves both of you. Well, that would make my day if he proves you both wrong.
Yeah, Mr. Danilo can kiss his boots along with me.
Okay. Okay, one last thing before we move on and we talk about Thomas Tuchel. This is from Val, and I agree with this. How much do you think Fulham have missed Harry Wilson?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'd raise the other issue, which is slightly off park. Should we have signed Nico Williams?
Are you really going to go back to this?
I'm just putting it out there, Russ.
Okay.
I'm just putting it out there.
Are you really going to go back to this? Okay. Steve has talked to me for the past 3 months about Nico Williams. So now he's doing it on the podcast. Come on, Steve.
I know. I just think. I mean, he's playing.
And by the way, in the background is his lovely wife. In case you're wondering, Emma.
I just think I've watched Forrest, and trust me, I don't like Forrest at all.
Okay.
But he seems to have been performing really well, and I just wonder. I mean, I think it's probably it's more of a general question. When do you stop regarding how much money you're going to pay for players? Do you know what I mean? As far as the board are concerned, should we have gone an extra $5 million for him? Diaz, I don't really know what we were. Right. Apparently, we offered 17, but. Do you go the little extra? I don't know.
Well, that's a good conversation for another show where we can talk about.
I agree totally, Russ. I agree totally.
We can do a whole show about the director of football and how he came up with the players that he came up with, and did they spend money wisely? We can do a whole podcast about that. Okay, but to end the show, I definitely want to talk about Thomas Tuchel, okay? This came as a surprise, Steve. Was this a surprise to you that he got sacked today?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I mean, People had a go at Parker, or rather Bournemouth, sacking Parker after only four games, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. Chelsea are a club who want to try and spend their way to the top. The trouble is they keep picking the wrong choices. Simple as that. But again, I can't see what Tuchel. Did he lose the dressing room? I don't know. I won't get on to the fact that American owners, because again, as we've discussed many a time, Russ, it's a separate subject. But I think he's been harshly done.
I agree, but here's the thing that I'll say about Tuchel, and I've watched Chelsea play, and he likes to play a certain way. I was listening to a show all about this morning on a show that you would feel very comfortable on. It's called Grumpy Pundits. It's a show on SiriusXM FC. And the pundits on Grumpy Pundits were talking about the fact that Thomas Tuchel doesn't really like strikers. And that's a fatal flaw with him, that he really doesn't like strikers. And then they go on and they bring in Aubameyang. It doesn't make sense. But in the end...
Apparently Aubameyang, he quoted the fact that he was really happy to be working under Thomas, etc., etc. And apparently they met for the total was from 59 minutes. And that is it. I think the difference with Chelsea is they are a club who think they should be at the top.
Right.
And they demand everything. And what they do by demanding everything, here's all the money, go out and spend it who you want, but they don't spend wisely.
No, they don't.
You pick out a player. Look at City. I mean, you got that bloody giant of a man, Haaland, who is, he's unbelievable. But City knew what they wanted. Pep Guardiola knew what he wanted, and he was going to go for him. And that is the difference with Chelsea. Chelsea are getting in bit players, you know. I've got no love for Chelsea at all. Never have done, never will do. But I still think they are a club who think they are better than they really are at the moment. Who expect they should be challenging for the title. Look at Liverpool. They just got stuffed by Napoli. Are they going to sack Klopp? I don't think so.
Listen, it's a shock, but the other part of this story is this. So, they sacked Thomas Tuchel, and now there's interest in Graham Potter. And I think Graham Potter has a chance to be a wonderful coach. But this is the thing that concerns me and worries me at the same time, and I'm going to bring it back to Fulham. If you're a Brighton Hove Albion supporter, how do you feel about your club giving permission to Chelsea to come after your manager? Now, again, there's a number that they had to reach, apparently, that I've been reading, that they had to reach – that they would have to pay to get Graham Potter, basically like a transfer fee. But what does this say to Brighton Hove Albion supporters if you're willing to let your manager go? I think this is horrible, by the way. And honestly, if Fulham did this with Marcos, we could take out Graham Potter and put in Marco Silva. How would you feel if Chelsea came in for Marco Silva?
You see, you
can have them because that's what's going on here.
I'm talking
about the Brighton Hove Albion owners. You could have them.
Yeah.
What? You could talk to them.
Yeah, I think through time, if you look at managers who've gone from, let's say, lower league of the Premier League,
yeah,
and going up, very few have survived.
Right.
It's a different. It's a big difference between being a very good, and Potter is a very good manager. Don't get me wrong. I've got a hell of a lot of respect for him. But he's got a small budget and he operates within that budget. And the trouble is, when you are then transferred somewhere like Chelsea and you're given, well, he won't have that budget until January, but
right,
do you know, all of a sudden, you've got Brighton, you've got players who all get on with each other. All of a sudden, you go to Chelsea and you've got personalities, who the big I am and all that. And you've got to, as a manager, got to try and settle them down.
Right.
And that is, I think, is half the trouble. Why a lot? If I was Graham Potter, stay at Brighton, mate.
See, he should not go. If I'm Graham Potter, you stay.
Stay where you are, mate.
And you build what you already have, because at some point you're going to get sacked by Chelsea. Stay with what you have. You build something really nice at Brighton Hove Albion. Don't go to Chelsea.
Yeah, it's a bit like the Southampton manager.
Exactly.
How many people were saying he's going to be sacked from before he begins? He's still there. I mean, the best thing that can happen to Chelsea is Scott Parker signs on a 3-year contract, and then we can, basically, I can watch championship games with Chelsea next season. So, that's the best thing that can happen. Scott Parker, go for it.
Listen, I understand what Chris is saying. I think Brighton fans are realistic that Graham Potter would be signed by a much bigger club one day. Yes, and then, of course,
I agree, Chris.
Get this as well, talking about the Roy situation with Liverpool. But it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make this right. I hated that at the time. I didn't like Roy Hodgson going to Liverpool. Obviously, it was a terrible fit. It was a mistake. Roy never should have left, but he went for the prestige of Liverpool.
That's what I'm saying, Russ, though. If you look at the history of managers who have gone from small teams to take over big teams, it ends in failure. Nine times out of ten, but quite often it ends in failure.
Okay. Chris, I'm going to share this. Don't start with us, okay? I don't want to hear Roy who. Okay? Don't start with us. We know how you guys feel about Roy Hodgson. We love Roy Hodgson. Steve, we've been talking for a long time. This has been great. I want to end with this topic, okay? Let's end here. Let's end with talking about this, because I think this is a serious topic now. I'm going to ask you this. Is this Fulham's best opportunity to beat Chelsea in years?
If you'd asked me yesterday, Russ, yes. I think we would minimum a draw, possibly a win. Wounded animals always fight back. That is the worry I've got about Saturday. It can work two ways.
It's a rudderless ship right now.
I agree totally.
I think this is their best chance. I could be wrong. I think it's best chance in a long time.
I was at the cottage the last time we beat Chelsea.
Okay.
And it was so much fun. In more ways than one, because
this is a wonderful opportunity, Steve. I know what you're saying, and the negative part of your personality is coming out because you want to protect yourself. I get that, but for me, this is a wonderful opportunity. They had an opportunity 2 years ago at Craven Cottage. Then, of course, we had the situation with Anthony Robinson, but coming back to him. But I will tell you that you're right. This could be the wounded animal scenario, but this could also be the run of the ship scenario.
I don't know. I think irrelevant of whether Tuchel was there or he's gone, I still fancied a draw, but I also fancied us nicking a 2-1.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say it right now. I'm going to put it out there right now. Fulham are going to win 2-1. I'm putting it out there right now.
Yeah. You just stole my thunder. You knew it.
Give me your prediction, Steve.
I'm going to go 1-0. I'm confident. I think we're going to nick a 1-0.
Okay.
Because we're going to, Chelsea is going to be packed.
And I'm Chelsea, telling you, it's going to be a fortress. It's going to be tremendous atmosphere. Yeah.
After QPR and Brentford, Chelsea are probably the next on the list. They're not our worst rivals. I think that probably comes down to it's a mixed match between Brentford and QPR. But because a lot of older Fulham supporters who might be watching, when you were young, and certainly if you were brought up in Fulham, which I was, it was Chelsea at home. You go down Stamford Bridge.
Yep.
Then you go down Fulham the next week.
Right.
So,
you know, that was how it was. I ended up Fulham because dad was Chelsea and my entire family were Fulham.
Okay.
So I had no choice. The family
Steve, we don't need the history of Steve Reynolds right now. It's time to wrap up the show. Okay, and I'm going to share this. You're going through the Reynolds history. Val, our friend Val, says, no, I hope we win, but they'll be up for this to prove they can win with a rudderless ship for whoever takes over Chelsea. That's your point. Val, I understand why you're agreeing with Steve, but Steve's actually going for a full victory, so we'll see what happens. Steve, all right, excellent show. This has been a lot of fun. This is our first show. Hopefully, if everything goes right, that will be on the Talk Sport Fan Network. I'm just going to mention that one last time. Cottage Talk is now part of the Talk Sport Fan Network, and we hope it helps grow this podcast. We've been doing it for 11 years. This is a big deal for me, and I hope we see the results from that with more listeners for Cottage Talk. Yep. One last
if
thing.
If you're watching on YouTube, push the little subscribe button just below.
See, I beat you to it. I beat you to it.
Good on you, man.
The Spanish form shadow. I beat you to it there, my friend. All right. Well, listen, this has been a great show. Steve, have you enjoyed yourself?
It's been a pleasure, Robert.
Okay. Well, I'm going to wrap up this show. For my friend Steve Reynolds, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.